Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Hour number four on a Monday. Big football weekend behind us. Week three done in college football. One quarter of the season already gone. 2 weeks in the NFL are done. They'll all be done after tonight with the Bears and the Seahawks. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing. We got interns Devin and Steven in today doing great work as well. Tonight you will hear Monday Night Football right here on the Horn as you do all throughout the season. We will get it to you in time for kickoff right after we're done at 7 o'clock. One of those teams is going to be 0-2 tonight. I think the shock would be that if it's Seattle. I don't think a lot of people thought Seattle would start 0-2. We'll see. Khalil Mack going up against Russell Wilson and that offense tonight. We'll see what they can do with Mitch Mitchell, whichever one you prefer, Trubisky. Can the Bears jump up at home and win one?
Well, Mitch is fortunate. We'll see tonight, but he's fortunate he's going up against this Seattle defense and not one three or four years ago.
That's a good point. Yes, he is very fortunate.
They would swallow young and old quarterbacks. But I think the Bears are fun to watch. I haven't said that a lot in my life. And they're building on something. We're just all trying to figure out where exactly they are in that process.
So are they. Yeah, we've talked Texas beating USC. We'll definitely get back to that. Couple of bad starts in college football. People may have seen this. The father of UCLA quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson was on Twitter and commenting on Chip Kelly.
His parents got to get off of Twitter on this stuff.
Yeah, blaming the play calling for what's gone wrong with that team. UCLA lost to Fresno State Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
38-14 was the final. They are 0-3 for the first time since 1971.
Look, a lot of these programs, they're not the only one. You could throw what Texas is going through. They're all going to be at different stages. It's about really what you have left. And Florida State and Willie Taggart, they're really feeling that because that offensive line is not rebuilt. It's not better. It's still awful. Did you see when Francois went down for the 90th time that game and the offensive lineman tried to help him up. This was a petulant move by Francois, but it was all the frustration and anger and bruises.
Yeah.
Physical bruises.
He might not have been able to lift his hand.
Right. He looked and then he rolled over quickly and got himself up.
Oh no.
And was kind of barking at the kid. That's not good leadership, but it goes to show you how frustrating that situation is right now.
Today Willie Taggart asked his fans for some patience at his press conference, and I don't know how much they're going to have. They're 1-2. Obviously, Florida State, you know, kind of was what Bobby Bowden and then Jimbo Fisher carried on there. And the problem with that fan base, Kevin,
left nothing with the offensive line, your boy.
No, that's true. There's no doubt. But the problem is the fan base knows it's only been, 2013 when they won a title?
Mm-hmm.
They feel entitled because it's that close.
They do, and it's still a weird job. I'm going to go overview here because Florida State's been this Florida State for, I'll give them 90. So, is that fair?
Yeah.
Going on 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a teacher school, all women's school until 58, I believe. So it's there and the tradition is there and it's been the previous 30 years, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to take a little drop or dip. And by the way, every single program in our lifetime, all the big ones, I can give you the top 10, all have had pretty significant dips in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about the Frost thing at Nebraska?
Ohio State is actually pretty close because even their dip would be a Cooper dip.
Yeah, that's true. Nebraska loses to Troy over the weekend?
Yeah, they lose to Troy. I guess the overall point of all this is you do have to have some patience or at least some realism in what your situation is. And that's hard to do because even if you cover the team, you don't necessarily know exactly how good or really bad the situation can be that you're taking over with personnel, with culture. And what Herman had to come in here, he was trying to get guys to buy in and play hard last year. So I am kind of happy with where they're at. And there's a long way to go to get to the type of program that Texas fans want. But There has to be some realism in that. Scott Frost is a really good coach. He can't come in and poof.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you give Chad Morris a little leeway on the North Texas thing? That was like 44-17, I want to say. I mean, they got whipped.
So my nephew's texting me. It was Parents Weekend.
Oh, that's right. You got a nephew at Arkansas.
Man,
I forgot about
Roy
that.
Roy took the trip up there.
Oh, no. The parents came in for that one?
Josh sends me the picture. And he said, yeah, it's Parents Weekend. And he's got like a big smile and one of these emojis. I'm like, oh, man, you poor kid.
He didn't send you the video.
You poor kid. Oh, he sent me that, too.
He didn't send you the video of the punt return, did he?
No, he didn't send me that. Okay. He sent me a video, though, starting half. And he works there just of really the whole stadium and what it looked like. There was no one there. So
they emptied out at the half?
You know, with Morris, I'm not sure exactly what exactly was left there. It was not a great program that he inherited, but he's trying to do really different stuff, right? You're trying to go from Bielema and what Bielema wanted to do and physically run over you to what Chad Morris wants to do. Could be a personnel problem. But the other thing, too, is Seth Luttrell has done a nice job. Seth Luttrell, the old H-back fullback, number 35 for Oklahoma, he's a young mind, young head coach to look at, and he's got North Texas playing well. Does it mean that they can go into Fayetteville and win like that? No, that should never happen.
That was an interesting, a lot of weird stuff over the weekend, but those were definitely some that that jumped out. Obviously, we talked about BYU beating Wisconsin, the Big Ten, with a rough weekend. Obviously, Ohio State looked really, really good in beating TCU. Michigan beat SMU.
Didn't look good, though.
But a lot of Big Ten schools had tough weekends. BYU, credit to them, they go into Madison and beat Wisconsin. That was huge. We've also talked about Oklahoma State getting the win against Boise. LSU over Auburn was a hell of a battle. And then Oklahoma, without Anderson at running back, Iowa State put up a decent fight, but Oklahoma wins it by 10. Didn't cover, but they did win it by 10, and they're trying to adjust now without Rodney Anderson.
Look good through the first couple games. I wasn't biting. Don't know if you were. There'd be some holes in Mr. Michael's defense again. The tackling started to look like it did a little bit last year. Uh-huh. Like if you and I were grabbing each other's ankles on the ground outside.
You're not totally sold that the defense is back to 2000 status?
You had a brand new quarterback in there, and they were able to do some stuff. Trey, did you see the same thing I did with the Oklahoma defense?
Iowa State showed a formula that can at least allow teams to keep up with Oklahoma's doing scoring the football, and that is an assertive physical run game to go along with big receivers really exploiting matchups on the outside. Texas has those pieces.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because they did take their shots with bigger guys, and they even said it during the telecast. You have to understand, if you don't have – Houston did it with their 4-7 guys in the box-out game I talk about. You can do that. You just have to understand who your guys are. Texas got back to that or got to that more against USC.
We talked about David Montgomery all through the summer. We knew he was going to be good at running back. Did you guys see the touchdown Hakeem Butler had in that game? The big,
numerous.
The big 6'6 touchdown.
Some of the tackling I'm talking about.
Right. I'm talking about the one where he broke like 79 tackles on the same play. Just a big physical play.
Tommy Frazier thought he broke a lot of tackles.
It was awesome. That was a great play. Iowa State gave him a little something there. Oklahoma did handle the business by 10, but maybe that does give us a little indicator moving forward. We shall see. Obviously, we're getting ready for Texas and TCU this week, but we're hitting a lot of Texas and USC today. It was a big win. More on that coming up. But first, let's have Trey tell you about HEB, and it's another home game. So we got tailgaters out there, Trey.
That's right, guys. Congratulations to Hook'em with the Browns. The Hook'em with the Browns tailgate, led by Stephen Brown, won our HEB tailgater of the game prior to USC. They had a ton of great things going on to go with the enthusiasm for the Texas Longhorns. They had chips, meats, dips, condiments, beverages, paper goods, even the HEB tortillas. Yes, all HEB products. And that's the key to winning the HEB tailgater of the game. We didn't visit you before Tulsa, before USC. There's a good chance we might see you this weekend before the TCU game. So load up on HEB products. Chad and Kevin will be out at the HEB and Kyle on Friday. So come visit them and load up on those HEB products. And even if we don't visit you, keep this in mind. And I've told you people this for 2 weeks now. Take pictures of that tailgate, including those HEB products, because starting today, You have opportunities to win more gift cards good to at HEB. We actually put out a Facebook post a couple hours ago with the winning tailgate from this last weekend. If you respond to that picture with pictures of your own, you're entered to win $100 good at HEB. We're giving those gift cards away all year long. It's as easy as that. You're getting part of that money back that you're going to be spending regardless at HEB. So keep those things in mind. Keep in mind, Chad and Kevin will be at the HEB and Kyle this Friday from 3 to 7, and we'll be back out before the TCU game looking for another HEB tailgater of the game.
Kevin, we'll definitely talk more Texas here, but I also want to get your thoughts on Notre Dame. 22-17, they just got by Vanderbilt. For somebody that's watching this team, what do you tell the rest of us at 3-0 to think of them? They're ranked number 8 today.
They're 3-0.
Okay. Just barely?
I would actually probably say that more to Notre Dame fans. Hey, relax, you're 3-0. This team definitely has to get better. Yeah, they haven't really completely put it all together where you have results like that. But they did a pretty good job. They got out early in this game. Defensively, I really like this team. I think that's the best thing if you're looking for an optimistic view on Notre Dame, is that defensively they can really run around. They've got a first-round corner. They've got a couple NFL corners. They've got guys at every level. Jerry Tillery has gotten off to a really good year. The thing that does bother me, that the strength of this team, and I'll go back to it, is the offensive line. And so they need to be able to dominate. You lose two top 10 guys, and I'm seeing – guys I really trust in reading that cover Notre Dame are saying, yeah, there's some laziness and sloppiness with the offensive line, stuff we just didn't see before. They got to get all that figured out, and Wimbush is going to be up and down. Notre Dame with Brian Kelly, you always have to worry about games like that. So right now, this is not a top 10 team, but they're 3-0, so I'll play it out.
The other piece of good news might be, you mentioned the defense. They have not let anybody score more than 17.
So defense is really good.
If you're, you know, if you're being sloppy and you're losing, you know, you're winning, but you're giving up 27 or 28 or 30, that's one thing. They haven't scored 30 yet in a game, but they haven't given up more than 17.
Yeah, and I still think they're trying to figure out exactly how they want to utilize their weapons and exactly who, what kind of run game they're going to have. They don't have a real difference maker right now. They don't even have a Keontae Ingram that I see. But the offensive line's got to get back to doing what they do. And then Brandon Wimbush, it's really going to fall on his shoulders. How accurate can he be? What type of decision making does Brandon have? And can he also hurt you with his legs?
Since you mentioned Ingram, let's remind everybody. Ingram, they said today, Tom Herman said he would call him questionable, so not sure if he's going to play against TCU. The big one, Kevin, is Malcolm Roach is out with a broken foot. He is out 6 to 8 weeks. That's obviously a long-term type of injury, but just for this game, as you look forward to the TCU game, how does that hurt Texas? How concerned are you about that injury?
I'm really not, because with their speed and what they do horizontally, the people were already picking on him and trying to see if they could beat him in a foot race to the sideline, and a lot of times they were, if you look at some of the jet sweep. And I'm not going to blame Malcolm on that. Maybe he put on a little bit too much weight, and maybe they're not utilizing him the way they should. I felt like they did a better job of that against Tulsa, but not as much as you would think. And maybe I'm dead wrong about that. If you got a different opinion, hit me, 337-3776.
One guy I really enjoyed against USC, I thought a lot of guys on defense, we said they had to show up, right? They had to really flash, and this should be a good matchup. We talked about Charles Omenihu earlier, had a really good game, got the sack, made a couple of good plays. But I really thought Gary Johnson had a great game.
Gary Johnson had a great game.
He was all.
Anthony Wheeler had a good game,
Wheeler
too.
Wheeler did, too. But, yeah, 33 just seemed to be all over the field. And, by the way, we were talking last hour about the targeting stuff and all of that. Late in the game, I watched Gary Johnson hold off on JT Daniels. He was going full speed. The ball let go. And he kind of runs by, barely touched him or whatever. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's a good lesson learned.
Is that, though? I know what you're saying,
you know,
it's good, but is that good for the overall thing, the thing that you just gave me, that you have to pull up? Whoa, 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 whoa. These poor scared defenders.
I know. It's good because he gets to start Saturday afternoon.
That's why it's good, but it's not good on the whole.
Right, I know what you're saying. Yes, I agree. I agree.
It's not, yeah.
But the fact that he gets to start the game.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
That is big. You want to stay away.
No, your point is it's smart, which it is. It's like anything. Hey, you're not allowed to eat Trident in this state. Really? What? They're a bunch of weirdos. Well, don't eat Trident then.
Right. Yeah, you got to work around a rule that should clearly be changed.
Mock the state and try and get a change,
yes.
But
we can mock the rule all day long.
Yeah.
I think that rule absolutely should be changed, but I just don't want to see a whole bunch of guys not starting games. Like,
well, we're seeing it.
Yeah, like Gustin for USC can't play against Washington State this Friday night for a half because of that play on Sam, which I just didn't. Yeah, I'm not quite understanding sometimes what they're calling. But anyway, I thought. But yeah, Gary had a great.
He looks
game.
Like a rough dude, Gustin.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
He probably has a motorcycle. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, he looks like one of those dudes who and not doctor style.
The other thing I liked about this when we were talking with Rod Babers earlier, you guys talked about how good a game Chris Boyd had. I liked the no semblance of fear in the way they played Chris Boyd. Like they went head up with Chris Boyd and said, you know what? We'll deal with Amon-Ra St. Brown, or we'll deal with this guy or that guy. There didn't seem like there was any kind of trepidation. It felt like Boyd wanted those moments.
No, Clay Helton and T. Martin wanted to move St. Brown really to the slot and allow him to work on some of the guys, some of the corner nickel guys. Yeah, I'm with you. He showed up. And when he did have one-on-one, whether it was Pittman, St. Brown, or Vaughns, and all three of those guys bring different things to the table, he was able to body Pittman. Pittman at his size is not physical enough. He's soft. 6'4", 215 kid, number six for them.
And was he the one that he was bodying out going down the sideline? Or was that...
That may have been someone else, but I remember him bodying Pittman for sure on one play and thinking, man, Boyd, that beast Texas against your... soft-ass Pittman, that stuff's not going to work. I really like the way Boyd played, and I think he's getting a better awareness. We're seeing him turn his head and be more aware to be looking for that and not get called with. He got called with just some stupid penalties against Maryland. Stuff where you have it covered, and I'm pretty sure that I know offensive coordinators will throw that on purpose and throw it short just to try and get a penalty.
Yeah, that's a great point. There has been at least a two-game evolution of that moment, because I thought his moment against Maryland and Davis's moment against Maryland was completely avoidable. They were both just like, they kind of panicked.
Space cadets. There was a panic, yeah.
They panicked in that moment, and they didn't do it here. Speaking of Beast Texas, Brandon Jones is playing his butt off
Brandon
right now.
Brandon Jones is playing really. I mean, I saw two NFL free safeties playing.
Yeah.
And hell, throw Stearns in there, because I think Stearns is on his way to the league.
Is that Gilmer and Nacogdoches? I think those the
Gilmer,
two.
Gilmer, yeah.
Those two guys?
Yeah, nice.
The Nacogdoches Dragon there and Brandon Jones. Yeah, he's playing really well. They're going to need him to make some big plays in the next few weeks.
Tell is the other one. Tell is good safety for them. They're USC. They're going to have individual talent. You may look back at this and see USC had 17 guys that played in the league on this team. And a lot of them could be young, but that is not a good football team right now. We talk about coordination and putting it all together, something we finally saw Texas do against USC. The fact their punt game gave that up, you could tell, and some of the calls, you could tell Helton was feeling, this is not happening tonight.
Yeah, definitely one team that by the end of it, you knew exactly what they wanted to do, and the other team, you didn't really know.
No.
16 rushes for -5 yards when you have those three running backs, and then how you go about trying to utilize your talent at the skill positions at wide receiver. It was just confusing to me all night long.
Cam Smith, Gustin, Tell, and then Marshall. Marshall's definitely playing better. You can tell Marshall has gotten some of his stuff figured out his senior year. He's going to play in the NFL. But outside of that, I saw a bunch of Jags defensively. John Houston's a pretty good player, but really up front. For the guys that we've seen USC have before, Wild Bunch 1, Wild Bunch 2, but even without those guys, there's always an individual. They're always going to have individual talent. But I felt like both their lines, their offensive line just isn't good.
Credit to Texas's defense on this, too. And maybe part of this is USC not utilizing it. Tyler Vaughns only ends up with 4 catches. Petit, 2. Mm-hmm. 2 catches for 9 yards that whole game. He had as many catches as Stephen Carr did.
Yeah, Jones is actually the guy who I was worried about. Jones caught him on a deep one and then got a kick return out to the 41. That was the only hidden yardage, positive hidden yardage I can think of for USC. It's like, hey, we're getting our freshman quarterback and our dog crap offensive line get to start at the 41. We know as Texas fans that can be a nice thing, but everything else was, nope, we should pin them inside the 10. Yep, Sam Ellinger should be at his own 5. Where's the ball? Oh, it's at the 45. How long was that punt? 6 yards.
A 6-yard punt. Jones only had 4 catches on the night. Texas did a good job, and they won. It's 37-14. That's game one of the 4-game gauntlet. Obviously, game two comes up this weekend with TCU. We'll talk more about that as we roll on this week. Big three is coming up. Kickers all over the NFL. Missing some big kicks, so you got to replace them. We'll tell you where Dan Bailey is headed. He got a gig today. Also, Cleveland made a change. We'll tell you who they're going with at kicker. Kevin's got one and done coming up for you. Monday Night Football, as soon as we are done at 7, Seahawks and Bears right here on the Horn. All right, that's Green Day. Yes?
Gotta be, right?
That's Billy Joe,
yeah.
Right? There we go. All right.
I always like the look on his face when he sings.
He does get after it, doesn't he?
Is that real?
I guess that's how the face goes.
Okay. I don't know why you'd fake that.
Yeah, that's a question. I'd love to ask singers. I don't know that there are any singers that fake their face. I wonder.
Because
you got to make the sound, and then whatever your face looks like when you're making the sound, I guess that's just what it is. A little Green Day for you on a Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Monday Night Football coming your way with Seattle and Chicago, and that is as soon as we are done at 7.
So I don't know if you've gotten this text or seen this, but I've gotten it from a couple people, but the Express officially told the Rangers their partnership is over.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they're moving on, huh? Moving on to a different team?
I guess.
I think the Astros and the Express officially announced something today.
Did they? Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
That makes sense.
Makes sense that it would be back to the Astros.
Yeah.
Rangers will likely end up in either Nashville or San Antonio. Hopefully the former, because San Antonio is having issues in terms of coming up with a new stadium proposal, which is a big key in AAA ball clubs.
Okay.
So you want San Antonio?
No, I want Nashville.
Okay.
Nashville.
I thought former was San Antonio on that. I may get it mixed up.
All right. Let's get you a quick Big Three here. We'll get you up to date on some stuff going on today.
The Big Three.
All right. NFL Vikings wave.
The Big Three is brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Dr. Brotzman's going to hurt me if I keep doing that. All right.
Well, the good thing is he can help you.
He can definitely help me out. All right.
He's going to hurt you, then give you a PRP shot.
The Vikings waived Daniel Carlson, the kid that was at Auburn, such a great kicker. Well, he wasn't a great kicker yesterday. So they get rid of him, sign Dan Bailey. The Browns release Zane Gonzalez and sign a rookie named Greg Joseph. He had been with Miami trying to get on with them. He played at Florida Atlantic. He is the Browns' new kicker.
That doesn't sound like a kicker's name.
Greg Joseph.
Yeah, more the Joseph part.
Yeah, you're right. Well, hey, if he can kick, it doesn't matter. We'll see.
You take XXX.
They proved that yesterday. And New England may have gotten the steal of the year. Josh Gordon. Cleveland's done with it. They're moving on. If he can get his head screwed on straight, Kevin, this could be massive. Can you imagine what this could mean for Hogan, for Edelman when he comes back?
For Gronk, for Brady.
For Gronk. If they can get a guy that's, remember, at his best, he was the best receiver in football.
Mm-hmm.
The best.
And he's a big dude, too.
Yeah.
You know, to where I like, they've been such a good organization, they've been able to win without having that guy, and I'm not putting him in this category. But when you have a Moss-type guy in terms of size and speed, or close to it, it can really open up this offense. He's not Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the second best receiver I've ever seen in my life. So he's not there, but he's got some crazy skills if he gets stuff together.
And by the way, when I say best, I mean he led the league in receiving at one point.
Yeah. Oh, no. Right. I know what you mean.
I wasn't trying to make that a figurative thing. He literally led the league in rushing.
You weren't putting your
receiving.
Balls on the table and saying,
No.
Here's an opinion, right?
No. Led the league in receiving yards one year. That's how good he was.
I got you.
That is big for New England. So we'll see what that move does. New England did, of course, lose to Jacksonville yesterday. Nice win for the Jags. Monday Night Football with Seattle and Chicago tonight. Astros at home with a 4.5-game lead in the division. Framber Valdez will be on the hill.
I do want to ask you, because when the news came down, I believe Saturday, that they're going to release Josh Gordon, I did see a lot of your brothers saying, oh, we got to sign him, right?
Oh, that would have made a lot of sense.
And by that, I mean the Tampa Bay Bucks. No. Right. By that, I mean the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of Cowboys fans were thinking, we got to go after this, right?
It would have been a good move. I mean, it's a team that takes chances, obviously. It's a team that gives guys second or third or fourth opportunities. That's what he needs right now to try to keep everything straight and be able to play. I was, a little disappointed when it didn't go down.
Okay.
Because the Cowboys need receivers that scare people.
This is a guy who a couple weeks ago was quoted, Jerry Jones at least, as saying that it would be disgusting if people could see the actual number on the check that he would write if it would guarantee a Super Bowl win. He said, I really think people would, it would shock a lot of people.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't shock me. I've been around Jerry. I mean, I've been around this thing for a while.
You're expecting multiple zeros?
Yeah, right. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of zeros involved. Cowboys got the win against the Giants. Unfortunately for you Cowboys fans, they don't get to play the Giants every week.
No.
Be a lot better season if they could.
And Wags, Giants people, I love y'all. I'm sorry, but your offensive line isn't rebuilt. And your center is out for the year now.
Mm.
I'm not sure if he was worth the crap. I'm guessing no after seeing the whole unit play.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's like the...
So then the guy he beat out is now up.
It's like the worst girlfriend you've ever had dumps you.
Ugh.
So it's kind of two things at once.
Kind of a good thing.
It's kind of right.
But then you think about it and you go, wow.
You try to find the silver lining, but
unless
yeah.
You just pushed her to it.
That is tough. And yeah, speaking of pushing, the Giants did not push anybody around in a Cowboys uniform last night. Cowboys win 20-13. Texans lost, and we've been trying to figure it out all day. The fake punt touchdown, the Deshaun Watson thing at the end, wasting time and completely burning the end of the clock and then not owning it after the game. He and Bill O'Brien have spent the first 2 weeks of this season not owning something that is fairly obvious they need to own.
And that's just an internal clock. That scares me. That's something that you should know, and you should at least know at that point, okay, I have to – I've been dancing around a little bit too much. Let me work myself back to the left here. Maybe even – because he was kind of scrambling. I mean, he had some room. I mean, you know,
correct.
I mean, maybe step up here, and I'm going to have to launch this thing in the end zone.
Yeah. Plus, they have actual external clocks outside his body in the stadium that tells him how much time is left.
Yeah, that's easier said than done. I feel like you know we're trying to ask all these players to do things that I think are unrealistic at times, like telling a guy, "Oh, you got to lay off there. Well, you ducked a little bit. We're going 100 miles per hour. It's not that easy." And on that situation, that is kind of tough. I mean, what is he going to find a clock? I mean, some guys may be able to do it, but. Your eyes are already on enough stuff.
And that's one of those where I didn't see the play. I didn't see it play out in terms of the coaches. How much was O'Brien yelling at him at the time? Were their coaches telling him to go, 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 go? Because you obviously can't waste that time. Texans fall to 0-2.
And he's just thinking in his head, we're down three. We're down 21-18. We just have to be able to tie this thing up. And then, but you got to know, too, okay, if I'm going to dance around this long, we're taking a shot.
You got to have time.
Yeah, right. You got to have time, but we're taking a shot because I know this is about 15, 16 seconds. I know we're at 12, 13 or around there in my head. This is it.
Yeah, didn't have that clock quite the way it needed to be. Hopefully, for the Texans' sake, they will learn from those lessons. All right, let's get you your second one and done of the show. It's a Monday, one and done time. Here we go, kids. There we go. All right. We have the sponsor for...
One and Done, brought to you by Austin's Premier Poker Club, Texas
right
Card
there.
House, September 18th. Join Mel from 104.9 for a special event benefiting Philanthropic with a $500 poker tournament. Visit TexasCardHouse.com for more info.
Yes, the world-famous Isaiah, a Bowie Bulldog.
That is right. Yes, exactly. Should I yell that or... No? Okay.
You can if you want.
Here's Kevin Dunn.
I am going to yell right now. You know, guess what I'm going to yell, Chad?
What are you going to yell?
We have a kicker! Like one of my relationships, it's going to be 4 years or less. But the good thing is that we have one, and we have it set up. I think it's easy to come out of this weekend and be excited about where Texas is moving, but we see the text line here. Most of y'all, 95% of y'all, have a pretty good balanced view on this, which is, yeah, I like where it's going. But, you know, after Notre Dame and that whole thing a couple years ago, I'm gonna wait. And we're obviously moving in the right direction. We'll see how much the movement has gone the next 3 weeks because this is going to be a big test for Texas. But so I'm not going to come out here saying we're back, yada, yada, yada. Boy, this thing is functioning at a different level now. They're playing better. We do have a kicker, though. That is something you can take out of week number three against USC for Texas and something that maybe even in 2 years, if you said, what did you really take out of that game? What did I really take out of that game? I took that we got a kicker. And does that mean Cameron Dicker is going to be perfect the rest of the way? No. Does that mean that he could have some problems? Of course he could have problems. But with kickers, Chad, my history is when true freshmen come out, and knock in 246-yarders like that and have the accolades and the poise that this kid has had at Lake Travis and is booming balls out of the end zone, unless he runs into some woman here at UT, some theta who wants to play with his head a little bit too much, Chad, I think we're good. Stay out of Cameron Dicker's head. Let him kick. But think about it. It is Brittany Griner-esque in terms of when you sign the kid and you see that he's good for the next 4 years. We are good at that spot. It is moving in the right direction. But having a kicker is a huge thing for any program, and that was a little worry because he hadn't kicked in the first two games. When that first one went up and had that draw, the long one, after he hit the chip shot, his first one, there was a huge exhale for me.
So two things. Did you notice that on the shorties, he did more of a straight drop back,
yep,
and then on the long ones, he did the soccer style?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. I also like the move that he had on maybe his last field goal, or hell, it may have even been an extra point, where they were, of course, looking at something. We're going back to Zapruder because we got to look at something. And so there's an official standing over the football.
Uh-huh.
And so Dicker had already done his steps and his paces. And the guy came to stand over. He's like, no, we're looking at something here. And Dicker said, all right, well, I'm going to go back to where I was and hang out. And until you tell me we're good to go, that's when I'll take my paces. He obviously has some rhythm. He's got something that's been working for him. And he's got a big-ass leg.
Yeah, he does. That was impressive. Yeah, now I wonder, too, when Tom Herman last couple years has talked about not liking, last year that he didn't like field goals. And I wonder if now it's different. Like, you can say you don't like dating if you've dated someone that wasn't great. But
right,
if you find someone that's like treats you well and does all these really nice things and cooks incredibly well and, you know, does all, and really looks after you, well, you know what? Dating's not so bad. Now that he's got this kicker, I wonder what he thinks of field goals.
Yeah, and trusting him, too. I don't know. It's a good question. But you can use that as a weapon. It took him a little while to figure out that he's got a punter he can use as a weapon, but boy, he figured it out and used him as a weapon.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Even if he didn't say the name, he certainly used
He still used the weapon.
He used the results.
What type of gun is that? I don't know, but boy, I've killed a couple people with it.
Hand it to me a second. All right.
Look at Joe.
There he is. Little Tess and Jason Witten, kids.
Poor Jason Witten. I hope you shower at halftime.
Getting ready for the Chicago-Seattle game. All right, Kevin, tell
Look at the furrowed brow. He's concerned. This is my concerned face.
Tell the folks about Dr. Eckert, because Dr. Eckert could probably make someone look like Joe Tessitore if that's what they want.
He really could. Well, he does have nice teeth.
He does have good
I'm
teeth.
I'm definitely jealous of the teeth.
I
talked with Dr. Eckert last week and said, hey, I want to start working on the cosmetic part of my teeth. Already got all the health figured out and the dental anxiety. Chad was talking about that earlier. All of that is gone. It is gone. 24 years of experience for Dr. Greg Eckert. He's restored over 1,000 cases of tooth loss solutions. So he does specialize in tooth loss solutions, whether it's a single tooth, multiple teeth, or you've been told you need all of them restored or replaced. Go in there and talk to him. Back to the cosmetic stuff, he's given away a free Zoom whitening. That's valued at $495. Free Zoom whitening for all new patients. If you mention you heard Kevin on the horn talking about it. Don't forget to use up all your dental insurance before the end of the calendar year. You can get all your dental needs taken care of before the end of December, especially if that's cosmetic work. Go in there, get it done, get in, get out. If you're having problems with sleep apnea or breathing at night, which a lot of people are, and you've already been tested, you know exactly where you stand on that. Go in, talk to them, because they've got a new, really a night guard that's also going to help you breathe better. It's one of those things that I looked at it and I thought, okay, I want to see how big of a contraption this is. It's not a big contraption. It's a night guard, so if you grind your teeth and you've used one of those before, or maybe you're trying to whiten them or Invisalign, any of that, it's that same thing. Yet, it's going to help you sleep a lot better. Get to DrEckert.com. Dr. U. It's Eckert with a U. You can check it out online or just call him. Ask about that free Zoom whitening. 345-3166. 345-3166.
Coming up, we'll get you one last thing and then get you off to Monday Night Football. Seahawks and Bears. You'll hear it just like you hear every Monday Night Football game all season long right here on the Horn. Now, that definitely sounds like Green Day.
Yeah, this has to be Green Day.
Darn right. That is Billy Joe. All right, remember, we're going to be live at Randall's on Thursday. So this week it's Tuesday. Thursday and Friday we'll be out. We told you we're at Total Men's on Gaddis School Road tomorrow. Randall's on Mesa Drive coming up Thursday. You can stop by and register to win a pair of tickets to see Texas TCU. A couple of lucky listeners will also get upgraded to that VIP experience. Also, you can register now for a pair of Coors Light Silver Bullet tickets to the TCU game on Saturday. Winner also gets two $25 vouchers valid at all 1883 concession stands and a unique on-field experience. Got to be 21 or older to enter that one, so go to the contest page at hornfm.com if you are over 21. And as we said earlier tonight, Rod Babers, Corey Redding, Cliff Crable of the Tailgate Country, and the gang are over at the Brass Tap from 5:30 to 7:30, so they are already underway. Get out there for some pregame chat and also free prizes. You could win NFL prints, helmets, $50 order of meats. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Rosso and Flynn, $50 gift card to Brass Tap, and more. So go check that out. All right, let's go one last thing before we get done.
One last thing.
We got more stuff to hit tomorrow, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we'll clean it up on a Tuesday. Plus, we're talking to Roger Clemens tomorrow at 5:40.
The Rocket.
He is in charge of the Texas part of the softball challenge for Texas OU weekend.
Okay.
Got to take down this Toby Keith team.
You have to.
Oh, my God. So we're going to talk to Roger Clemens tomorrow at 5:40. I'm a little nervous because I've never interviewed Roger Clemens.
No, I mean, OU may have us all-time historically with their football program. I would say they do. It's not even close. Talk about hardball. Hardball or softball. Well, softball, actually, they have us on that. But baseball. Baseball.
Right. Yes. Make sure you're clear.
Baseball.
Make sure you are specific.
I think we're finally going to get going with softball now.
We talked about it earlier, but real quick, I'll give a Texas guy some credit. J.K. Dobbins ran with a purpose on Saturday. 6.7 yards a carry. It felt like 8.5 at times. It felt like 12.7. That dude wanted to be that one. He wanted to play.
He
well
wanted that
in his state.
I was hoping they'd let him score there late, but I really also hope that his nickname is Fire Hydrant.
That is
like that kid is, talk about a tree trunk. You see his legs?
Got to be tough to tackle.
Oh, I don't know where. I mean, really good low base there.
Ohio State, Penn State coming up either this week or next week.
Okay.
Could be, and maybe not as big a deal as it was, but that means they need to go to Penn State and look really good then.
Right.
Because they're there.
You need to go there and win by three touchdowns. Ohio State is on their way to playing in the Final Four, but Chad, we are so early on, even though if it's a quarter of the way through.
Quarter of the way done. We'll talk more TCU as we get into that tomorrow. Monday Night Football coming up. And again, we'll talk to Roger Clemens tomorrow at 5:40. Have a great night. See ya.
Nah, get Chuck and Joaquin.